Manx Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Fast Mike, good afternoon. It's 5 o'clock on Tuesday, the 19th of August. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel, compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, we'll speak to a passenger who was on board the Manxman after smoke was detected in the machinery, prompting an emergency response. Meanwhile, Manx Care is conducting a review of its waiting lists in a bid to reduce wait times. And of course, the Manx Grand Prix is set to continue. All those stories and more coming up. If you want to say hello, drop me a message in the usual way. You can text WhatsApp to 166 177 or email to studio@manxradio.com. First of all, though, let's get the latest with Simon Richardson. Faster, Simon.
Manx Care's reviewing waiting lists in an effort to cut waiting times for patients. The health body says the validation process checks for duplicate or incorrect referrals. It also involves contacting patients to confirm if they still need treatment. The steam packet companies confirm the Ben McCree is to undertake the Manxman's scheduled sailing this evening. It follows a technical incident on board the company's flagship vessel this morning, with smoke found in a machinery space. Police say the mountain road has been closed from the bungalow to the Cregner Bar due to an RTC at Keppel Gate. Emergency services are at the scene and police say the road is likely to be closed until the scheduled closure at 6 o'clock this evening for the Manx Grand Prix session. And the operators of the Currocks Wildlife Park Cafe have taken over the lease at the Roundhouse. Braddon Commissioners says the new cafe will have something for everyone and will also offer a 20% blue light discount. Further afield, a council has won its bid to temporarily block asylum seekers from being housed at a hotel in Essex, despite a late intervention by the Home Office. Epping Forest District Council sought the injunction to stop migrants staying at the Bell Hotel in Epping. Donald Trump has ruled out sending American troops to help enforce a peace deal in Ukraine, after yesterday saying the US would help them out. He's also now warning President Putin might not want to secure a peace deal. And dangerous algorithms online mean children as young as six are seeing harmful sexual content. The figures from the Children's Commissioner also reveal more than a quarter of kids see adult content by the age of 11. Those are the headlines. More news at six.
Jeremiah, thank you very much for that, Simon. We'll take a look at the weather in just a moment.
Revving up for the Manx Grand Prix races. Your local Tesco has barbecue mains, celebration drinks, camping essentials and much more. Tesco, every little helps.
Right, let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Dry and tending to be fairly cloudy for the rest of today and overnight, but with some breaks at times to allow for some sunny, clearer spells. Light to moderate northeast winds will increase moderate to fresh later this evening, and temperatures falling to a minimum of around 12 degrees overnight.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugborough Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view delshawvehicles.im or call 49 51 49.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
Visit Ramsey Art Gallery for a fabulous range of top brand watches and stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions, and of course our gallery of prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers, opposite the RNLI shop.
Reach the Isle of Man's biggest radio audience with Manx Radio. Airtime, sponsorship and digital opportunities available. For more information on how we can help your business grow its market share, contact the friendly, experienced team on sales at manxradio.com.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
4 minutes past five, welcome along to the programme. We'll start with the elephant in the room, shall we? A number of steam packet sailings have been cancelled today after a technical fault with the Manxman. The company has described it as a technical incident, but later confirmed that smoke was found in a machinery space. We have spoken to Megan Caruthers, who was on board.
Just before 5 o'clock, the captain came on and sort of alerted us to the fact that there was a situation and that the alarms had sounded in one of the areas of the vessel. It went quiet for a couple of minutes, and then the captain came back on again and alerted us to the fact that we would need to move to the emergency assembly points, and that there was a situation. So everyone moved from the cabins and where we were, and we were in there, I think, for about half an hour. They kept us informed, and we were alerted to the fact that the one of the transformers malfunctioned in the engine room, and that the tug was going to have to come out. And then sort of the staff were busy going around counting up how many of us were there. And then we were, about half an hour later, the captain came on, told us that the situation was okay, and that we would carry on with our approach to the Isle of Man, and that we could all go back to our cabins or wherever we'd been seated.
That's Megan Carruthers there, and the Manxman is still out of action for the time being. The Ben has stepped up to keep the schedule running and is due to be leaving the island at 7:45. 6 minutes past five, inflation on the Isle of Man has crept up slightly again, reaching 2.8% in July. It comes despite some notable falls in energy and fuel costs. So what's behind the latest rise in the cost of living? Simon Richardson has been looking through the data. He joins us now. Fastamai, Simon, what can you tell us about what's driving this increase?
Fastamai, Christian. Well, the biggest contributor this time is the hospitality sector. Things like eating out and staying in hotels. Prices there have gone up by nearly 8% compared to this time last year. And within that, wines and spirits in pubs and restaurants rose by almost 9%. While catering services like takeaways and event catering also saw steep rises.
So hospitality is leading the charge in many ways. Is there anything else putting pressure on household budgets?
Well, alcohol and tobacco prices are also up about 5.3% overall, and within that, tobacco alone jumped 7.4%. Then there's food and drink. Things like beef, poultry and coffee saw sharp rises, with some items climbing more than 10% in a year.
We've also had some, we've also seen some drops in energy prices, haven't we?
Well, yeah, that's helped to cushion the blow a bit. For example, oil and other fuels were down more than 12%. Gas fell by 8%. Of course, this relates to a specific period, and petrol has dropped by just over 8%.
Now, for those who might not be familiar, what do we mean by the Consumer Prices Index and the Retail Prices Index?
Well, it's not an obvious one, is it? So the Consumer Prices Index, or CPI, tracks the average change in prices for a fixed basket of goods and services, basically what a typical household might spend money on. That's where we get the 2.8% figure from. Then there's the Retail Price Index, or RPI, which is similar but calculated differently. And it also includes mortgage interest payments, which CPI doesn't. And for July, the RPI was slightly lower at 2.2%.
And while we're on the RPI, are there any standouts in that figure?
Well, one of the big rises was in fares and travel costs, up by more than 10%, especially air travel. Catering and tobacco were also up, but like with CPI, the RPI showed falls in energy prices, leisure goods and motoring costs.
Well, that's all we have time for, I'm afraid. Simon, thanks very much. That was Simon Richardson with all the latest there on the island's inflation rate. Now, Manx Care is carrying out what it calls a validation of waiting lists across the health service. That means checking every referral from outpatients to mental health to make sure the information is accurate in a bid to reduce wait times. We can hear now from Dr. Renata Homewood, a consultant respiratory physician who's involved in that process, explaining what it's about and the impact it's having.
All consultants have been asked to conduct clinical validation on our waiting lists by Manx Care. This means we've been asked to review all of the patients and referrals on our waiting lists to check if they are still required, necessary or appropriate, with the hope to reduce some of the waiting times. This is something I'm going to do every 6 months. Reviewing the waiting lists means scrutinizing every patient's referral, looking at the pathways and tests that they need, and doing things like ordering investigations like lung function tests ahead of them being seen by a consultant. We will also look to see if they've had any hospital admissions or GP updates since their original referral. By doing this, we've picked up some cases that needed more urgent action and some that had already been discharged on another pathway. For the respiratory clinic, I have reviewed nearly 800 patients, 238 of whom were waiting for a routine follow-up and 574 new patients on a list which went back to 2019. Currently, we have a four-year waiting list for routine follow-up appointments and new patients, and this doesn't cover urgent follow-up appointments or urgent new patients, for which the waiting list is currently 12 months. Once I have done the clinical validation on these appointments, we hope to reduce this waiting time to 6 months. Once reviewed, patients will either receive an update letter, some direct advice or guidance, or a discharge letter. If a patient is discharged but still has concerns, they are asked to contact their GP for another assessment to ensure that the referral to my clinic is still the right pathway. In many cases, the symptoms that prompted the referral will have resolved.
Well, we've just heard there from Dr. Homewards in a video prepared and published by Manx Care explaining why clinicians are reviewing waiting lists. But what exactly does that mean? Well, Amy Griffiths is here with all the details. Fastamie, Amy. What is this all about then?
Fastamie, Christian. Well, this is a part of a process called waiting list validation. Manx Care says it has to go through every new and active referral across all its specialties, whether outpatient, inpatient, day case or mental health, to make sure the lists are accurate.
So is this about cutting down the numbers on those lists?
Manx Care is very clear that this isn't about reducing the lists for the sake of it. It says the aim is to review the quality and accuracy of referrals. So, for example, checking for duplicates, wrongly recorded referrals, or writing to patients to ask if they still want to remain on the list, perhaps because they've had treatment elsewhere or their condition has now improved.
But what about people being taken off the list altogether?
So that can only happen with a clinical decision, which means it has to be judged by a healthcare professional based on clinical data and their own expertise. Manx Care stresses that no one is being removed from a list unless a clinician has deemed it appropriate. They've even set up a dedicated team with governance procedures to oversee the whole validation process.
All right, thanks for that, Amy.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Airport bosses say there will be disturbances to residents as overnight drainage work begins this week. However, they say there won't be any delays to flights. I sat down with the Infrastructure Minister Michelle Hayward and the Interim Airport Director Jeff Pugh.
So as part of the ongoing improvement project that we've had going for some months now to improve the drainage at the aerodrome, there was always identified a period at the beginning of October when there was going to need to be some rock breaking. So on the aerodrome in between one of the main runways and the taxiway, there's a large seam of rock in the ground where some of the new pipework is going to go for the drainage. The plan originally was to break that out in sections, put the pipework in and then refill, because obviously the land has to be reinstated each day before we restart operations. This was always going to be overnight work because of the sensitive nature of the operations during the day and that it couldn't interrupt flights. We were approached by the contractor recently who'd identified an opportunity to bring that work and condense it into a two-day period as opposed to a two-week period.
And obviously work doesn't always go to plan with anything. There are sometimes issues that crop up along the way. Is there any potential for disruption to flights?
There won't be any disruption to flights, obviously, because we're doing the work at night. If we don't get the work completed in the two nights, then we won't be going into the third night on the Saturday night. We will be looking for another night at some point between now and October.
We are genuinely sorry. It is an absolutely necessary development that needs to happen down at the airport. Tim Ward approved the funding for this earlier this year, and we're working on it. It's partly about the safe operation of the airport. So it is something that's a long-standing project, and it is just unfortunate it's going to cause some disturbance. So really do apologise for that, but bear with us, and hopefully by Saturday night you'll be getting a decent night's sleep thereafter.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, there's a few things to be aware of. The mountain road has been closed from the bungalow to the Craigna Bar due to a road traffic collision at Keppel Gates. Police say the road around the road is likely to stay closed until the Manx Grand Prix closure takes effect from 6 o'clock. But that road will be open no later than 9 o'clock after qualifying takes place. Meanwhile, in Peel, until the 14th of September, a short stretch of Glenfaber Road is closed 24 hours a day near the new sewage treatment plant. Traffic is being diverted via the Patrick Road, St John's and the main A1 in and out of Peel. Elsewhere in Castletown, temporary lights on Victoria Road near the entrance to the railway station. Over near Foxdale, temporary lights on the shoulder road at the South Burrell Plantation. And in Ramsey, temporary lights on the Andrus Road near the Grove Museum. Over at the Steam Packet, it is all looking over all okay over there. Obviously, the Ben is stepping in for the Manxman while she undergoes repairs, investigations and the likes. But that one is due to be heading off at 7:45. We'll take a look at the airport now. On the arrivals and the departures board, I'm seeing all green, so I'm going to assume everything is running to time.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Keyside. You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
16 minutes past five, a charity supporting people with drug addiction on the island says it's seen more people needing help with cocaine over cannabis for the first time ever. Motivate believes the change is down to the legalisation of medicinal cannabis here. Timwald voted in favour of the move in January 2022, with the first licence being issued to a pharmacy in December of that same year. Thea Ozenturk and Jackie McKee from the charity have been telling Amy Griffiths more.
We've had a steady year, actually, in terms of referrals for people with drug use. And we equally see people who are impacted by someone else, so family members, significant others. So it's been a pretty steady year. We have seen a few changes, though, in terms of what people are using out there. So, yes, for the very first time ever since cannabis is now legitimately prescribed, we have noticed that cocaine now is the primary drug being reported by new people attending the service.
With cocaine overtaking cannabis, what do you think that says about the habits of people taking drugs on the island?
Cocaine use has always been there, but I think it's probably because it is a drug that's associated with recreational use. It's also associated with alcohol. So there's definitely an appetite for cocaine with certain people. It is a drug of choice and has been increasing for quite a period of time now.
In the 90s, it was the ecstasy scene and yeah. LSD and so on, the speed, the amphetamines. But, you know, now I think it's sort of turned to cocaine, and that seems to be the choice for people to, you know, recreational, to go out and, you know, have a bit of fun, connect with the mates, have a bit of drink as well. And it seems to be the party drug. And well, obviously, you know, ketamine is creeping out, and I've noticed that with some of the clients I've seen, there's been a rise in the ketamine use.
Since the legalisation of cannabis, there obviously have been knock-on effects. So, yeah, there will have been consequences from the legalisation. So we need to look at that. I think there are plans as well to look at that, about what has been the knock-on effect of this, you know, for the community. I think the demand for it has far exceeded what people thought it would. So it shows that there's definitely an appetite for it out there, for people to use it. And I'm sure it is helping some people. But now more Class A drugs are circulating. Because if you take away a market from dealers, they're going to look for, well, where else can we make our money?
It's one of the most popular beauty spots on the island and home to many spectacular animal species, including peregrine falcons. But Marine Drive, just around the corner from us here at Manx Radio, actually, is facing a recurring problem: fly tippers. Discarded items can often be seen littering the cliff sides, and in recent days, Manx Radio has seen more items added to the collection, including a fridge, construction refuge, and bin bags. Lewis Foster has been speaking to Bill Dell from the Manx charity Beach Buddies.
We highlighted this a very long time ago, and it came home to a few people, and they thought maybe if there's people up there watching, we might get caught. But the big problem is, and to this day, and in 20 years, I can't remember anybody ever being made accountable. Who's ever been fined for fly tipping? I can't remember a case. I mean, maybe you guys can, but the problem is no accountability. Therefore, people just carry on dumping stuff.
Where else have you spotted this being an issue around the island?
It's mostly quieter places. Erie Cushlin is a place that we found rubbish once some time ago. You'll find it occasionally in a plantation, somewhere quiet where people can go maybe even in the evening. We found a whole pile of stuff dumped at Langness one time down near the old Castletown golf links. But it's generally pretty much anywhere and everywhere, but not in the places where there's going to be people around. It's in the quieter places, you know, sort of up in the hills and in the glens.
Like you were saying there, you can't remember anyone ever being prosecuted or fined for this. So how do you stop it, and how do you recover it when it's on a steep cliffside like it is at Marine Drive? Is it just inevitable that these items end up either getting absorbed into the undergrowth or falling into the sea?
Well, there's some stuff on Marine Drive that was pointed out to us, gosh, it would have been nearly 20 years ago when we started, and it's still there now. I mean, this is televisions and a fridge and a freezer and some household stuff like that. The sort of thing that you have to pay for if you get rid of it at the amenity site. And that will have just disintegrated. I mean, not completely, but it will have broken down in many ways. But again, it's just, it is here, there and everywhere.
That's Bill Dale speaking to Lewis Foster. Let's turn our attention to sport now. All 29 of the Manx Grand Prix newcomers were presented with Mike Hailwood Foundation Awards today. Local newcomer Grant Thompson and Ireland rider Jason Whelan described why the foundation is vital for new competitors.
Yeah, so it's a massive thing. You know, they bring through all the newcomers and that, and, you know, give us every little bit of money towards what we can. You know, it is very expensive to get to the Manx Grand Prix, so what the guys are doing and giving us a bit of backing, you know, it's a massive help.
How important is that for you and everyone else?
Oh, it's massively, you know, we all get to this point and funds are starting to run low. Put everything you have into it, but it is just great to have them to, you know, support us all.
Yeah, so we've got support so far from Tracy's Pictures and the Hailwood Foundation. Probably loads I'm going to forget, but yeah, as a newcomer here, you do get plenty of support, plenty of help, and loads of people are willing to reach out and give you that support, especially when it is the Manx Grand Prix being such a big event. Coming from Ireland, doing the Irish National Road Race, it's always been the goal to get across to the Isle of Man. It's always what you're looking for, and obviously the Manx Grand Prix is a starting place to hopefully one day go on and go to the TT. So, yeah.
And Sunday was the first time you guys went out, obviously last night, mostly because of the red flags. How was that for you?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah, very good. So we had a newcomer's lap first, and then we were back in, done one more lap, and then I suppose it's your first flying lap when you're heading down Bray Hill. You're like, well, I'm going for it now, and that's it, you know. So, but really good, yeah, really enjoyed it, really good experience. And I think four laps on your first night, the guys who are here longer than us are saying that it's very good to get that, so delighted with it, yeah.
You guys went out for the first time on Sunday. What was that feeling like?
It was good. The speed control lap was an eye-opener, to say the least. And then when we got going, it was surreal to be, you know, let out the gates on your own and learn what was going on. But we had perfect weather, we got plenty of laps in, and couldn't beat a better day on the Isle of Man.
Now, a rider injured in a crash on the opening day of this year's Manx Grand Prix says he will be back competing again as he starts his recovery. This is James Walsh, who was involved in an accident at the Cruickshanks during MGP qualifying on Sunday. He's given an update to his followers on social media.
Not ideal, not the way I wanted it to go. I was here since Tuesday, getting bikes prepped and set up, excited, to say the least. Got laps in, bikes were looking good. Out for newcomer's lap, which was a pinch me moment because we got to follow run by John McGuinness, which was insane. Just such a cool experience. And then we were out for junior and super twin practice qualifying. Got a good run, absolutely loved it. Bike felt mint. I was really happy with my knowledge of the track. Heading towards the hairpin, just up out of Ramsey Village, out of Parliament Square, Mayhill, Cruickshanks. Came around that right-hander, was carrying more speed. Made the corner, but just ran it out too wide. So I was pulling the bike back in over on the dirty side out by the curb on the left. And I was just driving it back out of that. And then the bike, the rear just kind of kicked on me. That touched the curb and then ended up crashing. The hip took a fair whack. It's my Manx over with for this year. I wouldn't say I'm overly emotional, but no, this is really hit home. Really hit home. I'm okay. The pride has taken a hit for sure. It was a good year. Just everything lined up for this. And yeah, just like that. First day. So yeah, we'll get on the mount and we'll be all right. I'll be back fighting. I'll be back again. Just the emotions of it, you know, the build up, the prep, everything, and then you're buzzing, just buzzing for it. And it was a dream. And yeah, just like that, that's it for this year.
There's James Walsh speaking to all of his followers after the crash on Sunday. Right, let's stay with the MGP. We can now head to the Ramsey Hairpin, where I believe Rob Pritchard is stationed for the MGP this evening. He has the latest sport. Fast to my Rob.
Fast to my Christian, yes. Good evening. Welcome to Ramsey Hairpin on the Snaefell Mountain Course. We start here on the mountain course as Manx Grand Prix qualifying is set to continue this evening. Roads around the course are currently due to shut at 6 p.m. before the first session for Supersport Senior Machines gets underway at 6:30. That'll be followed by Super Twin Junior Bikes, which are currently scheduled to head out at 7:20 p.m. Roads around the course will then reopen no later than 9 p.m. Well, last night, MGP qualifying was brought to a halt after just 10 minutes due to a red flag incident at the Black Dub. The rider involved in that incident, Andy McAllister, was airlifted to Nobles Hospital for further assessment and was reported as conscious and talking. Elsewhere, Isle of Man tennis star Billy Harris has made it through to the second qualifying round of the US Open. The former Albany and Castletown competitor came from one set down to beat Japan's James Trotter by 2-1. He'll now need to get through Mikhail Kukushkin from Kazakhstan if he is to equal his best result at the major. Harris will face the 236th ranked player tomorrow at 4 p.m. Isle of Man professional boxer Matthew Rennie will return to action in less than 2 months' time. The island-born fighter has announced he'll return to the ring at Box Park, Liverpool on Friday the 3rd of October. His opponent is yet to be confirmed. Last month, Magic Rennie made it 2 wins from 2 in 2025 with a unanimous points victory over Harley Hodgetts, also in Liverpool. And prior to that, he'd started the calendar year with a points win over Octavian Grati in Gibraltar in March. Rennie's pro record currently stands at 16 wins, 1 draw and 1 defeat. And finally, in cricket, Peel and St John's Ladies A have secured the Isle of Man Women's Division title for a fourth year in a row. The Westerners became champions after a 70-run victory over Crosby last night. Crosby themselves finish as runners-up. On their way to finishing top of the standings again, Peel and St John's end the Women's Division campaign with 11 wins from 14 games.
Kurumai, thank you very much for that, Rob. Just quickly, we've got about 10 seconds. How's the track looking down there?
Conditions looking good at the moment. Let's hope it stays the same throughout the evening.
Absolutely. Fingers crossed. Well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to newsreader Simon Richardson. Up next is Island Life, a conversation with Chris Gregory from Isle of Play. Michelle Kane in with Greatest Hits for Chris Kinley, John Barker's Folk Show, and Dave Moore after that. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.